VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. And ladies and gentlemen, we are titling our program today Border Truthfulness, because the picture that is being painted by the current administration and echoed by so much of the media is quite deceptive as to what is actually taking place at our borders. I mean, we have the Biden administration busing and flying illegal immigrants to cities across the country. There are young children that are being abandoned in severe heat. A shell game is going on, moving children from place to place to give the appearance of empty migrant child facilities. On Tuesday of this week, some 20 governors from across the nation sent a letter to the president and vice president urging immediate action to this border crisis. Well, now to present what the national media is refusing to report, we welcome back Mark Krikorian. He's a nationally recognized expert on immigration issues, serving as the executive director of Center for Immigration Studies. They're an independent, nonpartisan research organization examining and critiquing the impact of immigration in the United States. He has testified many times before Congress, has published articles and on many outlets as well. Mark, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Thanks for having me.
We've got a whole lot we're going to unpack today. But first of all, nearly 2 months ago, I think it was about 7 weeks ago, Vice President Kamala Harris, she was put in charge of this border crisis by the president, but I understand she has not yet visited the border yet in these 7 weeks?
No, and it's kind of interesting. They did say she was supposed to be the border czar, or I guess czarina, but immediately her office said, no, the vice president is in charge of addressing root causes of migration in Central America, not the border itself. And what that meant to me is she understood what a hot potato this is.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically said, you're not saddling me with this issue. I'll go and meet with have a Zoom call anyway, with the president of Guatemala and that kind of stuff, but I'm not having anything to do with that mess at the border that you, Mr. President, created.
Yeah.
So there's a good reason she hasn't gone down there. Now, if she just went, and had a couple of pictures and went home, then we wouldn't be able to complain like this. But I think there's a reason she's avoiding it, because she is very clear that this is not her problem. Someone else is going to have to take the fall for this, because she's a politician and she smells political disaster and doesn't want to be tarred with it. So in a sense, she's not a very good politician, generally speaking, as far as electoral politics. I mean, Kamala Harris is one of the worst politicians in America as far as pressing the flesh and talking to people. The craft of politics, the stuff that Bill Clinton was so good at. She's terrible at it. But she does seem to have a sense for what issue to steer clear of so it doesn't blow up in her face. And I think that's why she's refusing to go to the border.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because when President Biden, gave this responsibility, I didn't hear him say, I want you to find out what the root cause is in Guatemala. I mean, he seemed to put her in charge of what this problem is. Was there ever definitive responsibilities laid out by the president?
No, definitely not. I mean, like I said, she immediately said, I'm just dealing with root causes, and there isn't anybody in charge of the border, basically, because there was in the National Security Council, which is in the White House, a woman who was supposed to be in charge of border issues originally. She was the former ambassador to Mexico under President Trump, but she's a career person, and so early on she was ambassador. And she came on with the White House. The problem is that she also basically said, I'm not taking the fall for this, fellas. Mm-hmm. And she quit. So it really is a sign of the administration not having any good idea of how to respond to this mess at the border in such a way that isn't just doing what Trump did, because what Trump did worked.
Right.
But it's Trump, and so they can't do it, so they don't know what to do.
Let's talk about the numbers. What are we seeing at the border? How many illegals are being apprehended? How many do we know are getting through, or do we have any idea?
Well, the numbers for April just came out, and they were almost 180,000 apprehensions. That was up some from March, but not as much as March was up from February, because it's always going to go up once winter passes. I mean, there was a huge jump up from February to March, a smaller increase, but it's still at almost 180,000. It's still a 21-year high for arrests at the border. And what's different from 21 years ago, when it was a couple of thousand higher than this, I mean, it was almost the same. What's different is that a big share, almost 40% of the people they arrested, are adults with kids. They call them family units, or just kids on their own, most of them teenagers, but and they're smuggled through Mexico, and then they cross on their own and then say, hi, I'm unaccompanied. Please deliver me to my parents who paid the smugglers that brought me here. And if it's a single man, obviously the Border Patrol, especially if he's Mexican, just turns him around and sends him back to Mexico. If it's a family or an unaccompanied minor, and again, especially if they're from Central America or somewhere else, Haiti, Cuba, Congo, Brazil, I mean, it's now kind of snowballing, it's much more difficult to deal with them. You've got to hold on to them. You've got to get the travel paperwork from their government, all that kind of stuff. That's aside from whether they make a bogus asylum claim as a gambit to stay. And so because such a large share are these family units or unaccompanied minors, Homeland Security doesn't have anywhere to hold them. It doesn't have enough space to hold them. So a lot of cases, especially obviously for the adults, they're just letting them go, and they're giving them a piece of paper. It's like the honor system. Please check in with ICE. Turn yourself into ICE when you get to wherever you're going, you know, where your relatives live that you're coming to join. And none of those people is ever going to leave, period, even if they apply for asylum, even if they show up for their hearings, and a lot of them do. But if at the end of all of that they get turned down, as most of them will be, they don't leave. And this administration has openly said they will not, ICE will not make them leave. And so what we're talking about here isn't just something the Border Patrol is kind of dealing with. What we're talking about is permanent increases in immigration outside the laws that Congress has passed. And it's outrageous that we're, you know, this is continuing, and the administration is basically just kind of shrugging its shoulders.
Mark Krikorian is with us today from the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, we saw the horrendous pictures, these overcrowded centers, the cages, so to speak, filled with children under the Biden administration. And now they're releasing photos of empty centers. Some are blowing the whistle saying, hey, hold on, the Biden administration is just employing a shell game here. What's going on?
Yes, it is a kind of shell game. Specifically, those pictures were the same pictures as that whole kids in cages baloney under Trump. And what it was is that unaccompanied minors, and again, most of them teenagers, all of them pretty much smuggled by adults to the border and then sent across the border on their own so that they would become unaccompanied. They turn themselves into the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol has to hold on to them. They can't just let kids loose on the street. But their facilities are not designed to hold anybody for a long time, and certainly not to hold kids. So they end up having to put up dividers to kind of keep the 17-year-old boys separate from the 12-year-old girls until they can transfer them to Health and Human Services-run shelters. And then Health and Human Services is the one in charge of finding who the parents are or the other relatives, or if there aren't any, finding sponsors, foster families, that kind of thing. So what happened is Health and Human Services didn't have enough space to take the kids. So they ended up backing up in the Border Patrol stations out in the middle of nowhere. The reason you're seeing pictures now where there's, you know, it's all fine and there's only a few kids there is because Health and Human Services has opened up all kinds of new emergency shelters, literally in convention centers, military bases, what have you. It's costing us millions, tens of millions a week, and they're moving the kids there. and they're not letting us take pictures of that. And then once there, they're trying to find out who the parents or relatives are. So they deliver free at taxpayer expense these illegal immigrant kids to their almost always illegal immigrant relatives in the U.S. And that is what this administration defines as success.
Money.
Processing people faster, illegal immigrants into the U.S. as fast as possible, not stopping the flow.
Mark, Tuesday of this week, some 20 governors sent a letter to President Biden, Vice President Harris, urging them to take immediate action on this immigration crisis at the southern border. And they wrote this, quote, "The crisis is too big to ignore and is now spilling over the border states into all our states." They said the cause of the border crisis is entirely due to reckless federal policy reversals executed within your first 100 days in office. Mark, they're just plain fed up. They're saying enough is enough.
Yeah, and, you know, they're rightly so. You know, the people want to leave places they live, Central America specifically, because conditions are not good. I mean, there's no question about it. Mexico is actually pretty prosperous compared to Honduras and Guatemala. So there's a reason people want to leave. But why did they all start coming as soon as Joe Biden became president?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because he issued what they all understood to be an invitation to come in. I don't think President Biden has some kind of plan to flood America with migrants or something like that. He basically, and his people basically, just kind of had their fingers crossed and hoped that if they undid everything Trump did and said orange man bad and were wonderful, welcoming, open arms, that nobody would take them up on the offer and come. In other words, I think they really didn't think this border disaster would happen, but everybody else knew it was going to happen.
Right, right.
And yeah, it's interesting, one of our analysts went down to the border recently, crossed over to the Mexican side, across in Texas, on the, you know, Mexican side across from Texas, and one of his, like, translator knew somebody somewhere else, so he ended up hooking up with an actual smuggler. The guy was a real alien smuggler. He was literally snorting cocaine during the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Not my guy, but the smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
And what the smuggler said is just casually, he, in normal conversation, refers to Biden's comments and his actions as, in Spanish, la invitación, the invitation. Everybody there understands that they're coming because Biden has invited them, even though in his feckless and hapless way, he doesn't understand that he invited them and can't accept that. But he did. There's no question about it. And the only way to stop it, really stop it, is to go back to the kinds of things that Trump had done, like make people wait in Mexico until their hearing dates come up and then let them in. Because then you have them under control, and they haven't just disappeared into the United States.
We're going to take a quick break here and pick up with our discussion on border truthfulness here today. Folks, you're not getting it from the mainstream media across the nation. Center for Immigration Studies knows firsthand what is going on at the borders and really blowing the whistle as to what's taken place. We'll delve further into it after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in an evolutionary sense, what do the terms advanced and primitive mean?
Chris, primitive animals are thought to be those that evolved long ago, which gave rise to more and more advanced types. Single-cell organisms are the most primitive, and then marine invertebrates, and up to fish, amphibians, mammals, and eventually man, the most advanced of all. Within each mammal type, evolutionists say that the more advanced ones are the ones that are modern, but extinct varieties were hardly primitive. Chris, the whole concept of primitive advances an evolutionary idea which is wrong on the face of it. Evolution did not happen. God created each basic category, much as we see it today. None is more advanced than the other. Each is complex. And that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
Visit our website at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
border. Truthfulness, our topic today. Mark Krikorian, our guest. He is the executive director of Center for Immigration Studies. And their website, cis.org. Folks, check it out. Sign up for their email alerts and so forth. A number of stories that you'll find there, cis.org. So, in essence, Mark, we've got the Biden administration that is busing and flying illegal aliens all over the country. I mean, I saw a congresswoman out of Michigan saying they're bringing them into places like Albion, Michigan. I can only guess this is happening all over the country.
Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah, I mean, and there's two separate groups of people. I mean, the adults who bringing kids with them, usually their own kids, but sometimes somebody else's kids. Those are classified as family units, and they're just basically just given a piece of paper and let go.
Yeah.
They're usually, most of them will take buses to where their relatives are that they came to join. Sometimes they'll fly if they have some more money. Or if the relatives have more money. We actually, the same analyst I talked about who spoke with the smuggler, also talked with some of these nonprofit groups on the American side. And they sometimes have so many people going, say, to Miami. There's a lot of Haitians will cross because it's not just Central Americans. A lot of Haitians and others, too. Haitians all want to go to Miami because that's where the Haitians are. So they literally... they'll put up people for a couple of days until they have enough of them to charter an entire bus to go to Haiti. Mm-hmm. I mean, to go to Miami and deliver illegal immigrants. We're calling it catch and bus instead of catch and release.
Yeah.
Some of them are flown, too. Most of them are sent by bus. The other group, though, are the unaccompanied minors, teenagers and kids. And the government can't just let them go. What they do is they hold them in these shelters, like I said, that Health and Human Services runs until they can find and then vet the supposed sponsors. But what we learned recently is that in some cases, the federal government is using taxpayer money to fly the illegal immigrant relatives who live in, say, Washington or in Chicago down to the border to pick up their kids that they paid to smuggle, and then on taxpayer dime fly the illegal immigrant parent and the illegal immigrant kid back to where they're living and having their illegal job. It is unbelievable that we're doing this and that they're getting away with it, but you know, the media doesn't really care. I mean, he's their guy, and so they're going to cover for them. It's not that they're lying, it's that they just don't consider this a big deal.
Yeah, all on the taxpayer dime. I mean,
I
saw the story. One Southwest border sheriff said that we've been told to give them a bus ticket to wherever they choose in the U.S. and let them go.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Well, you were talking about the children as well, and Western Journal picked up a story of a Texas rancher found five girls ranging in age from 7 years old to 11 months discovered on his property, abandoned on a blanket in the dirt. The youngest was crawling around without a diaper. The rancher said they were crying, they were scared, they didn't know where their parents were. And I read this, I said, how tragic, Mark. I mean, how can the Biden administration allow this when they were so critical of President Trump? I mean, these conditions are so far worse.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's no question. This is terrible. And let's understand what the problem here is. The issue is not that the government, that, in other words, the problem is not that these little kids were found in this terrible situation. That's a symptom of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we have to deal with, obviously. But the reason it's happening is that we are, the administration is enticing people to take these chances, enticing people in Central America to take up to act on the sales pitches that smugglers are giving them down there. Smugglers going down there and they say, hey, look, the gringos are letting people in, you know, give us all your money and we'll deliver your, you know, family, or you deliver your kids or whatever to across the border. And the only reason that's believable is because it's true. If instead people were being returned home, in other words, a week after somebody left, they're flown home and, you know, dejected with their stuff. And it's like, oh, man, you know, it didn't work. I'm out all of this money. No one's going to then say, okay, well, I'm going to try to do that, too, because they failed. Mm-hmm. When people succeed to get across, and when they get across and they call home and they say, hey, you know, it worked. And their relative back home tells their neighbor and the hairdresser and the guy who runs the street, the store down the street, and they tell all of their friends. You know what I mean? It's like that shampoo commercial from years ago. I don't know if you're old enough to remember it. Tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends. You know, it sort of multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it can go either way, and people are making it. They're succeeding, and so other people are trying. And mugglers, some of them will actually deliver. They're criminals, but they'll actually do what they're paid for. Others are the scum of the earth who will leave little kids in the dirt because they got their money, and what do they care?
Right, right.
We're encouraging it. You know, it's not our fault directly, but it's clearly this administration's fault indirectly.
Is it true that illegal aliens are receiving both the earned income tax credit and the additional child tax credit?
Yep. Not all of them, but, I mean, a lot of them. Millions, several million of them are, because they either have a Social Security number, or they have a real one or a stolen one, or one that was good when they were a temporary worker and then they're now illegal aliens because they didn't leave, but the number is still good because it doesn't expire. So that there's lots of them, and we actually just estimated how much illegal immigrants are likely to get this year through these two. They're essentially welfare programs, but they're run through the IRS. So when you file a tax return, the earned income tax credit and the additional child tax credit, they're not deductions. They're actually money you get back. If you don't pay any taxes, you still get the money. Something like $4.5 billion up to that. Like, you know, it's obviously an estimate. 3.8, I think, to 4.5 billion is what we estimated that illegal immigrants are going to get out of these programs. And, you know, I mean, a billion here, a billion there, it adds up to real money eventually.
Mark Krikorian with us today, Center for Immigration Studies, or website cis.org. We've got ranchers along the southern border. They're mentioning that the caliber of many people coming over are not the maids and gardeners, but criminals. I mean, those that are working for the cartel. So talk about the drug issue, the fentanyl, the cocaine, the heroin.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, obviously, any flow of people, there's going to be bad guys in it. And when it's a big, relatively uncontrolled flow, you're going to have bad guys taking advantage of that. They're going to hide in the flow. But the bigger danger from this seems to be that the cartels on the Mexican side who control the border, because different parts of the border are turf of different cartels, and the regular smugglers have to pay the cartels like a tax to go and use their section of the border. But the cartels do more. They don't just collect the tax from the alien smugglers. They use big groups of aliens as a diversion so that they can then get dope and other things through other parts of the border. So let's say there's some remote part of the border in West Texas, for instance, and they've had a lot more aliens crossing there than before. If you've got, say, 50 or 100 people all at once, they wade across the river. Some parts of the year, literally, you can just walk. I've waded across the river in West Texas, and it only went up to my knees. And they all turn themselves into the Border Patrol. Well, guess what? All the Border Patrol agents who are on a shift at that time have to deal with this. There may be kids. Some of them may even have diapers, but everybody's got to be processed, all of that stuff. What does that mean? Is there anybody watching the other parts of the border? No.
Mm-hmm.
So there goes your dope. So it's a double problem. Criminals in the illegal alien flow, and then criminals using illegal immigrants as a diversion to get drugs and anything else, I guess, across the border when no one's watching.
We're hearing a lot in the news of Texas and Arizona in particular, a little bit lesser than New Mexico, but New Mexico is in there as well. But what about California? We're not really getting stories out of California so much, are we?
Not as much. And, I think probably the main reason for that isn't so much that, you know, California is welcoming illegal aliens, which they are, but California is much farther away than from Central America.
Mm-hmm.
The closest place, the shortest trip is to South Texas,
yes,
which is exactly where the biggest flow is. Now, everybody doesn't go there because if South Texas is too busy, you know, you've got groups of people going further and further upriver and trying other places, sort of probing for the weakest spot. But I think mostly it's a matter of geography. The California is just the farthest away.
You have recently reported about the EEOC reaching a settlement on an issue that pertains to immigration. What took place?
Well, this was a kind of an update of a report we had done a number of years ago. And I don't expect any more settlements like this, but this was one of a series of Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the federal anti-discrimination agency, going after a company, in this case a place in California that made like ice cream and stuff like that, going after them for discriminating against American workers in favor of foreign workers, sometimes in favor of Hispanics against non-Hispanics specifically, but the Hispanics were almost always, or mostly anyway, immigrants. And the Americans discriminated against, in most of these cases, are Black Americans. Again, not in every case, but most of the time. And basically, companies like this, in this instance, for instance, they said only employees who spoke Spanish, you know, would be hired, when in fact there was no requirement. It's not like they were translating things from Spanish. They were, you know, packing frozen desserts, you know, but it was a way of not hiring Black Americans. And we did a report a couple years ago that had a bunch more cases like this. This was relatively new, but a couple years ago we did a report with, I think it was, I don't remember now, 10 or 12 other cases like this. It was just outrageous. There was one where the foreman or the manager or whatever said to the American workers, most of them Black Americans, they said, all you Americans are fired, and brought in visa workers, on foreign worker visas to replace them. It's brazen. To be perfectly honest, I don't expect this administration to do anything like that. I expect they're just going to drop the whole issue, but it's a real issue. And that isn't to say that Hispanics or immigrants of any kind didn't also have EEOC cases, but they were almost never about being denied jobs. Instead, they were complaints that they were getting screwed out of their wages or terrible working conditions, which really just reinforces the idea that employers are hiring immigrants as a way, because they figure they can get away with paying them less and having bad working conditions. Whereas those employers that aren't hiring Americans at all, they just don't want to hire the Americans. It's not a question of complaining about the wages or, you know, is the emergency door locked or those kind of things. They're just discriminating against Americans altogether in hiring.
We're going to take a quick break, and folks, we're going to open our phone lines for your questions, your brief comments here as it relates to this topic of what's going on at our border, but you need to know the truth of what's taking place there. You're not getting it from the nightly news media. But our guest today, Mark Krikorian, is sharing with you exactly what is taking place at the border, what's going on. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our telephone number today is 800-733-9829. We're talking about border truthfulness. Love to hear from some of you listening in Texas today, some of you in New Mexico and Arizona tuning into the broadcast to hear your perspective on things as well. But certainly this is impacting the nation as a whole. And because it is impacting us as a whole, Mark and many are outraged at the types of things that they hear going on. The natural question many have is, what can I do? I'm just a single person. What can I do here to deal with this issue? Who can I express my thoughts to on this issue?
Well, the first thing to do is to go to our website, cis.org, to learn more about it. Because, you know, a lot of people, whatever they think about the issue, kind of figure, well, you know, I had a grandma who came through Ellis Island, and so I know what I need to know about immigration. It doesn't work that way. This is a complicated issue, and there's a lot to it. So the first thing to do is learn about the issue. Just a little plug, we now have a Center for Immigration Studies now as a podcast, a weekly podcast, about half hour or so, that addresses a different issue every week. I think we're on our third episode, I think, released today. So you can get that on our website or, frankly, any place else people get podcasts. But then the way to actually take action is the group I suggest the best, and I think you've had somebody from their organization on your show, is Numbers USA,
mm-hmm.
which is, see, we're a think tank, so we do the research and we do this kind of public education and talking and panel discussions, all that stuff. They're more a citizen advocacy group, so they use a lot of our information, but what they do is connect ordinary voters with politicians so people can express what they think. And so what I'd suggest is, after you go to our site and kind of get educated, you go to their site, numbersusa.com, and sign up, free, and they give you up-to-the-minute information on what politicians are doing. They have a report card system, very detailed and carefully done, on how reliable different politicians are with regard to immigration. Those are the two things I would suggest. If everybody did that, politicians wouldn't be able to get away with, you know, basically lying about the issue as they often do.
Again, that's cis.org. And again, you'll find a podcast there, a weekly podcast, and then also numbersusa.com. Let's go to the phone lines. Our number, by the way, 800-733-9829. Pat is our first caller from Wisconsin. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi. I find it interesting that most of these people are coming from countries that are very heavily influenced by communism, and they have been told how oppressed they are by the gringo, primarily the United States. And, you know, these are people who will ultimately come into our universities, our corporations, healthcare. And so I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But it sort of cuts two ways. I mean, it depends on the person. Some people who come from some kind of oppressive society, whether it's, you know, Venezuela or Cuba, where there's communists, or even just, you know, screwed up authoritarian countries, like any one of them you could, any list of countries abroad, some of those people will be more appreciative that, you know, they're in a free country, and that's kind of the mythology, which is, you know, not totally false. Others, though, will come because they've heard they can make more money here, but the values that create that prosperity are not something they're given a lot of thought to, and so they'll end up supporting politicians, once they get to the point of voting, supporting politicians who essentially want to replicate the conditions they fled in the first place. So both kinds of things can happen. Neither one is the whole story, but you can't talk about, you know, immigrants yearning to breathe free and kissing the ground in America, which is not false. It happens sometimes, but you can't talk about that without also talking about the other side, where other immigrants will actually import harmful values and worldviews with them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we keep being told how bad we are as a nation, how we are systemically racist and so forth, but look at the people clamoring to come to this nation.
Right. There was a joke years ago I think it was around the time of Vietnam War and all that, there was a political cartoon that showed a bunch of people protesting outside the American embassy, yelling, "Yankee, go home!" And then the next frame was, "And take us with you."
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you'd think, if we're so terrible, why do people want to come here? On the other hand, the people who say America are terrible are not generally. Some of them are immigrants, you know, people like Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, but most of them are, you know, 10th generation American spoiled Ivy League, you know, graduates who don't have any idea of what the world is like outside their little bubbles.
Our number is 800-733-9829. Ben is our next caller. Hi, Ben, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just curious about how is it that they don't seem to think COVID is a big risk with all these people coming in. I highly doubt that every single one of them is wearing a mask and socially distancing.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, certainly not. I mean, if you see some videos, you Google, I think, Venezuelans Rio Grande. There was a video, I think it was a local Fox affiliate got it, of just dozens of people splashing across the Rio Grande, you know, with backpacks and suitcases, pretty well-dressed, a lot of them. Nobody's wearing masks. There's no question that this is a public health problem, and that's why during the Trump administration, they activated a rule that permits, if a public health emergency is declared by the CDC, that the Border Patrol is permitted to turn people around at the border, no hearing, no nothing, just push them back into Mexico. And it was very effective, along with all the other measures that the president, mm-hmm. President Trump took. Biden has boasted of keeping that in place, even though they said it was horrible and fascistic and all the rest of it, except he keeps making more and more exceptions to it so that it doesn't apply to unaccompanied minors. It doesn't apply to almost all family members. And so they're just being let in.
Wow.
Are they all being tested? Is there rigorous, you know, quarantining, all the rest of it? You know the answer as well as I do.
Thank you, Ben. Let's go to Michael in Pensacola, Florida. You're on here, Michael.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Just want to chime in on something. I'm a truck driver, and whenever I deliver in Laredo, Texas, that area, all that area, the warehouses are run by Mexican companies, Spanish-speaking people, and there are no whites there, there are no blacks there, there are no Chinese. It's all Mexican, and that's unfair. That's unfair. That's very cheap labor.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're talking about, you know, competition from companies, you know, based in trucking companies based in Mexico, that kind of thing. On the other hand, though, you know, especially way down in South Texas there near the river, that's, you know, everybody's been Mexican-American there for a long time. A lot of them are fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation. Some of them actually are descended from Spanish settlers. They're not Mexican at all. They're colonists, like, you know, Mayflower people, and some of them even have the documents that the Spanish crown issued to them in the 1600s or 1700s, deeding the land to them. So, I mean, it's not really that different, in a sense, from, say, Cajun country in Louisiana or, West Virginia. There's, you know, there's not a lot of blacks or Mexicans or Chinese in West Virginia. You know what I mean? In other words, it's an ethnic kind of a subgroup area. But the interesting thing is that is the area where there was this huge shift toward Trump in last year's election. For all of the, you know, hyperventilating talk about how he's racist and blah, blah, blah. He actually carried places, counties in South Texas that hadn't voted Republican ever in their existence. And, you know, it's because most of the folks down there aren't these kind of political radicals you see on TV or in Congress. They're patriotic Americans. They drive trucks. They own guns. They serve in the military. It's just that, you know, they're sort of at home. They're ethnically Mexican.
Hmm.
The question is, do we want to have continuing immigration to spread that kind of thing everywhere else in the country, or do we want to leave that as a sort of a regional curiosity that's a perfectly fine thing as long as there's no political, you know, ethnic political consequences to it.
But see, my purpose is here. That most people come in to America from political, tribal, and what they want to say they are. They're not coming in to be Americans. They're keeping their same language. They're keeping the same culture and all that stuff. They're not segueing mm-hmm. to be Americans.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a lot of that. There's no question about it. And there's two reasons that's a problem. I won't go on too long. But the first is we just let too many people in. So if you got somebody, if you have low level of immigration and somebody says, you know, I don't want to become an American, if there's just not that many of them, they don't have any choice over time. It just happens. But the other thing is our schools and corporations and, unfortunately, churches and a lot of governments are run by people who don't believe that foreigners should assimilate and become Americans. They think that's a bad thing. And so the problem here is our leadership class, the people, and I don't mean big shots just in Washington. I mean just the school board in your town often is part of the problem. And, you know, corporations and all the rest of it, we need to fix that if we're going to be able to Americanize newcomers, which I think we can do, but not if we teach them that America is terrible and you shouldn't assimilate.
Michael, thank you for the call here today. We've got a couple open lines again, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We have Sandra calling in from Cookeville, Tennessee. Sandra, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to address one of the first comments that your speaker made. It was pertaining to President, and I don't usually say that, but Biden's letting the immigrants or inviting the immigrants in.
Mm-hmm.
I personally do believe that this is all part of the plan. I don't think that they were maybe thought about it being hundreds of thousands of people, but this is all part of the plan. This is not, this is exactly what he meant. He was inviting them in. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that is my opinion.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Sandra. And some look at this here, Mark, and they see this and wonder, is this just a lack of competence, or is this really part of the planned strategy for the chaos overwhelming the system and really obtain a goal that many have been seeking for, the liberal left, and that is an open border agenda?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little of each.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Democrats clearly understand that immigration helps them politically. Now, it's a longer-term thing. It's not like the people splashing across the border today are going to be voting tomorrow. But it helps them. They know it. They're open about it. There's no question about it. And they also basically don't believe in immigration law. You know, if you say, well, you're for open borders, they'll say, no, I'm not for open borders. I think we should have a border patrol and whatever. But, I mean, they're not willing to do anything to actually enforce the immigration law. So they are basically for open borders. At the same time, they are incompetent because they really, I think, they really didn't think this current border crisis was going to happen.
It
took them by surprise.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back to more of your phone calls on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Two important things to talk about today. First is, right here in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, a massive crack in the I-40 bridge. We have the I-40 bridge and the I-55 bridge. Coming in from out of town, from a rally, we had to sit in traffic for 3 hours to get over the I-55 bridge because they closed down the I-40 bridge because of a major crack. My friends, these are two important highways as FedEx is headquartered in Memphis, and a lot of trucking comes through the Mid-South. Our enemies realize how critical this kind of infrastructure is all over the country. And then you add in the Colonial Pipeline that has been shut down. It has been hacked. Peter Vincent Pry, former CIA analyst on our show, declared he believes that is Russia, and maybe Russia and China, as they have threatened such cyber attacks against our country, and even our own government has warned this can happen. I'm Brandon House.
Mark Krikorian, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Our topic is border truthfulness. Their website is CIS.org. CIS, that stands for Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Matt is holding from Girard, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yes, my comment is basically the stories I'm hearing around here in Southeast Kansas, we have a lot of immigrants, is how they're bought and sold like slaves near the southern border. People come down to pick up them, you know, labor from the border, and they buy them like slaves. I remember a story a few years back where the local police found this young man walking down the street in the middle of the night with a broken arm. And the deal was, is he was bought by a local restaurant, and when he broke his arm, and he had to pay off the fee they paid for him before they start paying him any illegal wages.
Right.
And when he broke his arm, he was no longer used to him, so they just kicked him out in the street. They were giving him room, board, and everything. But and that's no different than the African slavery we did way back, in my opinion.
Thank you for that, Matt. What do you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, there's no question there's abuse of immigrants, and the more immigration you have, the more of these kind of incidents you're going to see. In fact, just this week, the New York Times, of all places, had to report on this similar, basically a kind of slavery situation in New Jersey, where there was a large Hindu temple being built out near Princeton, New Jersey, and they ended up getting like dozens and dozens of people who had been brought in on visas, but had then been basically locked up. They were confined to trailers where they lived. They had to work on construction. There was a, you know, chain link, barrier so they wouldn't be able to escape. This kind of thing happens a lot. It was in LA a few years ago. This may have been a while ago, 10, 15 years ago. There was a sweatshop, a sewing operation that had people from Thailand, again, locked up. They took their passports. They weren't able to leave. It was basically like slavery. Immigration makes that easier, because if you don't know the language, you don't know people, you don't know how things work, you don't even know really where you are, you're a natural candidate for being exploited that way. Whereas if you're an American, it's just a whole lot harder to do that, even if the employer is a, you know, a real criminal and a bad guy. You can't do that to Americans. It's easy, though, to do it to foreigners.
Well, thank you, Matt, for raising that issue. We're going next to Dwight in Arizona. Hi, Dwight, you're on the air.
Hello, just wanted to make a comment. We have a large chain hotel here in an area called Ahwatukee that's totally dedicated to immigrants. You can't get a reservation there. The whole hotel is for illegal immigrants. They get all of their food. They get all the amenities. And what's really interesting is they're most likely getting service by people who have green cards and are legal immigrants. Whereas we also have a street here, in downtown Phoenix, for the homeless. And we have our veterans on this street begging for food, begging for everything, whereas 10 miles away, the illegal immigrants are being treated like, you know, kings and queens.
Oh.
I mean, this kind of thing happens in a lot of places where an employer will bring a lot of illegal immigrants, sometimes even, you know, legal in the sense of maybe on some kind of guest worker visa, but it's still some kind of exploitation. And they will often, you know, take up a whole motel or something like that, use it as housing. Heck, I remember I listened to an interview by Cesar Chavez 45, 50 years ago, talking about exactly that phenomenon where illegal immigrants were brought up, they filled up motels, and then they were bust out to the fields to work, and then brought back to be housed there. So this is the kind of thing that happens a lot. And again, it happens only because both we don't enforce the law against illegal immigration, but we also allow way too much legal immigration and guest worker visas.
Let's go to Jackie in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jackie.
Thank you. I have a comment. Americans need to wake up. I'm a black Christian from the South. I left the South to come to the North in order to have a better life. America is the promised land. We have so many opportunities. And to hear people talking about illegal aliens, what we need to do is respectfully return all these people back to their home. Ever since I was a child, I've been getting all type of shots. Don't we understand that people that come from other countries haven't had these shots? They are coming in with all different type of diseases. We are not hating people that come from other countries. We simply acknowledge the fact that we need to be able to document and trace anyone that live in the United States. That's the same thing they do for us. Anyone here born here in the United States, we, the government, know exactly where we are. So it shouldn't be upsetting Americans when we say stuff like they need to go back home. These children should not be kept in camp. They need to be sent back to the country in which they came from so that they can find their parents, so these men can go back and work where they are. And as far as giving money to other countries to keep them from coming here, what does happen to Americans when everywhere I look right now, there's a help wanted sign? Teachers don't want to go back to work to school. Americans don't want to work. They want to continue to get free money from the government.
Yeah.
Unemployment constantly being extended. Americans are not proud to be Americans anymore, because if they were proud Americans, they would stop taking all the free money from the government and get back to work.
Thank you, Jackie. I tell you what, we're down to 30 seconds for a response here, Mark, to Jackie's call here.
The basic question in immigration policy, as a Harvard professor I know says, is who are you rooting for? In other words, should policy be made to, in the interest of immigrants, or should it be made in the interest of Americans?
Hmm.
And the answer is pretty obvious. Unfortunately, most of the time, it's not made in the interest of Americans. It's made in what is good for the immigrants themselves, who are perfectly normal, decent people for the most part, but they're not us, and our government has to look after us, not other people.
Thank you, Jackie, for the call. And again, our apologies to others on hold. We've just run out of time here on the broadcast. Mark Krikorian with us, Center for Immigration Studies. Their website is cis.org. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And folks, again, you can know that this program is put up also as a podcast. It's available online here within a couple hours of our broadcast, where you can share links with others so that they may be informed as well on border truthfulness. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.